ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're all set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
Here's 25 questions, 5 categories. Our categories tonight are category number 1, the most translated authors of all time. The most translated authors of all time. Category number 2, muscle quiz. Muscle quiz. Category number 3, all your base are belong to us. Category number 4, pick a number between 10 and 20. And category 5, the King's English. All right. The most translated authors of all time. Muscle quiz. All your base are belong to us. Pick a number between 10 and 20. The King's English. Stuart from Victor Harbour is going to kick us off. Stuart, good evening to you.
How you doing? Good day, mate. How you doing?
Not bad. Yeah, not bad.
I've just interest of Phil with it, really, just briefly, not soapbox stuff, but why are we paying, we've got a gas heater here, right? We get it from Elgas.
Mm-hmm.
It's $2.34 a litre. Have you got to be kidding?
What, for your gas?
Yeah, $2.34.
Oh, this is because Elgas deliver the cylinder, do they?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. But still, why are we paying the phenomenal price for gas in this country? Why hasn't that been addressed by any party? No one sees that's got that ridiculous nuclear and everything. Now they've got this bit.
Yeah, I don't know, sorry about that. But I do know that system of... I know that the trouble with those bottled gas deliveries is that they're making money on the...
They're making money on
the delivery, just not the cost of gas as well.
But even LPG in a petrol station now is over a dollar. It's like it used to be. It's just ridiculous. It's just absolute nonsense. And you've got Albanese, who's got no opposition with Susan Lee.
You should be.
You've got a mediocre government in government because you've got no opposition.
Can you give us a call on the last hour?
Yeah, all right, I'll be quiet now. Let's go for it, mate.
What do you want to do?
Most translated. Right?
Yeah, I'm good. The most translated. The most translated authors of all time, muscle
That's
quiz.
Or, I'll go for that, Phil, yeah.
What? Which one?
The first one. I'll go away.
The most translated authors of all time.
Yeah,
have you been drinking pickle juice or something, Stuart?
I know, mate. I've had a couple of sherbets. Only two apple ciders.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually feeling pretty good, so excuse me. I'm a bit worrying and waffling. The Australian public must think, I want a pain in the ass, but still, excuse me, mate, sorry.
Stewie.
Oh, sorry, Phil.
Behave. All right.
Okay.
Question number 1.
Yeah, good.
Born on the 15th of September 1890 in Torquay, which English author is reportedly the most translated author of all time?
I think it'd be Agatha Christie.
Correct. Yes, it is. Amazingly, it's Agatha Christie.
What an incredible woman, though.
Well, yes, but I mean, the most translated of all time. You might have thought Charles Dickens or somebody.
Yeah, well, I would have thought. If you had a guess, you might have thought Dickens or anybody, but certainly she has. We're going to watch Perrault, listen to Perrault shortly. It is pretty good. Some of her stories are really good yarns, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're very good. Very good. Question number 2, the most translated authors of all time. We're staying here?
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
What is the English title of Jules Verne's Le Tour du Monde, et 80 jours?
Say that again, please, Phil. I'm not very...
Le Tour du Monde en 80 jours.
Gee willikers. I'll just go through it. There's 20,000 leagues under the sea, around the world in 80 days, journey to the centre of the earth, I think. I'm going to go with that, journey to the centre of earth, Phil.
No. Sorry, Stewie.
Oh, well, that's it.
Go and tidy up the soap. Put the soap box back in the garage. All right.
See you, mate.
See you, mate. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Mick from Bamboka. G'day, Mick. Hi, Mick.
Good morning, Philip.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you going?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Yeah. I'll be a lot better when I have to get off this pronunciation racket here, Mick. Question number 2. What's the English title of Jules Verne's Le Tour du Monde en 80 jours?
I did listen to the last answer.
The most translated authors of all time is our category.
I just want to call out to my brother-in-law, Damien, who criticises me for my ABC Nightlife questions, but never rings up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what can you say about people like that?
Yeah.
All talk and no action, Mick.
Sorry, I've got to pass, Philip.
No worries. Nice to talk to you, Mick. See you later. Bye-bye. Yes. Tim from Canberra says, thanks, Stuart. I just got my 8 cents worth today. all right. Where are we? Tony in Ballarat. G'day, Tony.
G'day, Philip. Getting ready. A bit of trivia.
Yeah.
Dear old Colin MacDonald, Scots collision, foursome still means a bit. Test cricket, birthday today. If he's still with us, I'm not sure. Pardon the tide test.
Oh.
In Briz in December of 60.
Okay.
And those in the Olympic movement, the swimmer, Wendon is on birthday day.
Mike Wendon?
Yes.
Yeah. Mike Wendon's birthday, okay. You'd be getting excited about Friday, wouldn't you, Tony, the first ball of the Ashes?
Yes. I'm predicting Ozzel's will describe, so it might be a tool or something like this, but I can describe some.
Hey, what do you reckon here? What's the English title of Jules Verne's Le Tour du Monde en 80 jours?
The answer is around the world in 80 days.
Correct, yes. Thank you for struggling through my butchering pronunciation. Around the world in 80 days. Jules Verne is the second most translated author of all time after Agatha Christie. How about that?
Yes, I did. Some of the French did stick in my brain.
Mm. Question number three.
Yeah.
What do you want to do here, Tony?
Stay where we are. Please.
Stay where we are. The most translated authors of all time. Jeff from Rockley, correct. Walker from Stanmore, good. Roland Scarborough, good. Julie from Montagne-Bleu. Julie from Montagne-Bleu, or the Montagne-Bleu. Phil, ton français n'est pas mal. Thank you. Annette from Pitt Town and Jackie all had correct answers. Okay, question number three, the most translated authors of all time. Which best-selling romance novelist is the most translated American author of all time?
I'm not sure.
Jackie Collins, yeah. No, not a bad guess, Tony, but not correct. Thank you, mate. Bye-bye.
Yes, please.
See you. No, Tony would be among those plenty of people looking forward to Friday, eh? First ball in the test. Full coverage, of course, on ABC Radio. As you would expect, Anne from Caulfield. Hello, Anne.
Oh, hi. How are you going?
Pretty good. Question number three, we're up to the most translated authors of all time. Which best-selling romance novelist is the most translated American author of all time?
American romance novelist. I can't think of. I can think of an English romance novelist. Look, I know I'm wrong, and I think Jane Austen was. What's it called? I think she was English, but I'll just put her in the mix because I can't think of anyone else.
It's not Jane Austen.
I know.
Thanks. Thanks anyway. You. Bye-bye. No, it's not Jane Austen. Maria's got the right answer. Joanne from Mildura's got the right answer. Graham from Bruny Island says, Phil, can you ask Stewie if he can get in touch with me, please? Oh, Graham. All right, if he rings in, we can pass on some information, maybe. Jason from Morwell. Hello, Jason.
How's it going, Phil?
Pretty good, yeah.
Good.
Question number three, the most translated authors of all time. Which best-selling romance novelist is the most translated American author of all time?
Now, I'm not sure whether she's actually a romance author, but the only one I can think of is Danielle Steele.
Danielle Steele is correct, yes.
Danielle Steele,
the sixth most translated author of all time. All right, question number four. You can stay here if you like, or move somewhere else.
No, I'll go to somewhere else. Pick a number between 10 and 20. Was that the
one
of the options?
Pick a number between 10 and 20.
Question, yeah, I'll try that one, please.
Question number four. What's the cube root of 1,331?
Oh, Phil, you're killing me. I don't know. I've got one right. I'll say 70.
No, not 70.
See you, Phil.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Not correct. No, pick a number between 10 and 20, I think, was the category. what was the answer to the Jules Verne one, please? It was Around the World in 80 Days. Around the World in 80 Days. Le Tour du Monde en 80 jours. Ross, there you go. Rhonda from the Vines had Barbara Cartland. Yes, well, that's not bad either. That's not a bad guess either. Dean from Ningen. G'day, Dean.
G'day, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good, mate. Yeah. We're up to question number four. You were in a category called pick a number between 10 and 20. What's the cube root of 1,331?
We'll take a stab at 19, Phil.
Not 19. Dean, okay, mate. Thanks, mate. But it's sort of gets at least one off the table, I suppose. Ben from Brizzy. Hi, Ben.
G'day. How you going?
All right. Yes. Question number four. Pick a number between 10 and 20. What's the cube root of 1,331?
Mate, well, all I can think of is the first time I've ever actually rung up and had a crack at this. So I'm thinking 17 because that's the only number that I can think when you get to a 1 at the end of it. Because 3 times 7 is 21, so 17. I don't know. No idea, but 17.
Not 17, Ben. Thanks, mate.
Cheers,
thanks for helping to nut it out. But no, that's not going to help you. Kevin's got the right answer. Walker from Stanmore, Rachel and Kilmore. Good. Adrian, plenty of people have got the right answer. Michael from Yokoin. G'day, Michael.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello there. So I may well bomb out in this one, but yes, I've got a ticket for Friday for the test.
Oh,
yes,
have you? And, hey.
I got it for my 50th birthday. My friend has bought four tickets.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, his dear missus has to go into hospital for an appointment, so he can't go, and he just gave me all four.
Oh.
So me and a couple of friends are going to go there for the first ball of the Ashes, so which is pretty fantastic.
Have you got you got a ticket for the opening day, have you? Good on you.
Opening day, day one, with four tickets in
a row. What's the weather forecast, Michael, by the way?
It's about 26 and overcast a little bit, so yeah. It's pretty good for spectating all day, you know, getting burned in your seat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it? I mean, the Perth test is always terrific too, always fantastic.
And I think the contest is possibly quite open. It's really hard to gauge. I haven't really been deep diving. There's all, you know, the pre-match speculation and propaganda, so yeah. I think it'll be a good one.
So do I. Well, I do envy you, Michael. I've never been to an opening day of a test match in my life. I have been.
Wow.
I've been to the New Year's Day test. New Year's Day.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was great. Australia was playing India, I think it was, years ago. Anyway, it was terrific because we walked in, sat down, and as we did, we watched an over, and then a wicket fell, and then about four others. So,
oh, that's what you want.
So
I wasn't worried about. I saw the Ashes one time, maybe twice ago it was, yeah. And England came in on the first day and batted boringly for the whole day, and we just sat there with mid-strength beer and been a little bit frustrated.
Well, mid-strength beer with some mid-strength batting, that's right.
Exactly.
Question number four, what's the cube root of 1,331?
Well, I'm going to go for lucky for some 13.
Not 13. No.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you.
Have a good day Friday, Michael. They see you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. You can hardly fail to, I would think. Shirlene in Perth, yes. That is a trick. That's true. Jackie says, I can tell you how I worked it out if you want. Heather from Ipswich, correct. What about Rod's? Rod's a smart bloke. He knows how to work things out. G'day, Rod.
How are you, Phil?
All right, mate. Question number four. Pick a number between 10 and 20. What's the cube root of 1,331?
11.
Correct. Why is that? because that's what
11,
it is.
11 to 121, and 11 times 121 is 1331.
See, I knew you'd go through it like that.
1 times 1 equals 1.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I think that should have been the clue. I mean, I wasn't asking you to work it out, but yeah, you've got to think 1,331. So what's multiplied three times in and you have a 1 at the end? Hmm.
Well, there was only four possibilities that you could have had as being the second digit, because it could only have been 1, 3, 7, or 9.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that end in, that have got a multiple count that ends in 1 anyway.
And we've had 3, 7, and 9 already, so there we go.
And it was just a matter of working out which 1 times itself would still give you 1, and the only one left was 1.
Yeah. Jane's offered up a hair past a freckle. Very good, Jane. I think a time-honoured measurement, a hair past a freckle. Question number 5. Okay, what do you want to do? Stay with pick a number, or you can move anywhere else.
What's the others, please?
The most translated authors of all time, or muscle quiz, as in M-U-S-C-L-E, the muscles. All your base are belong to us. Pick a number, or the King's English.
Oh, good job.
I know.
Well, I might as well stay with the numbers, I suppose. Thank you.
Oh, Rod. Pick a number between 10 and 20. What number is cans in French?
Now,
mm-hmm.
15.
Correct. Were you counting up to 15, right?
I was counting up to 15 in my head. I was trying to remember whether it was cartors or cans, and then I thought, oh, cartors.
Cartors, cans. Cartors. What's after that? Says.
Decepties with his nerf and back.
And then vent. That's it. Good on you. Question number 6. Pick a number between 10 and 20. Are we staying there?
Yeah, please.
How many stars are there on the flag of the EU?
Oh, yeah, all right. Goodness knows. It's got to be between 10 and 20, so that rules out one for every member nation. Probably 10 and 20. I don't know, 17. That's pure guess.
Not 17. Thanks, Rod. See you, mate. Not 17. Steve from Leicester. G'day, Steve.
Evening, mate. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, we're up to question number 6. Pick a number between 10 and 20. How many stars are there on the flag of the EU? We've had 17.
Because that, geez, Stewie came out swinging this evening, didn't he?
Well, see, when Stewie gets on the pickle juice, things can happen. You know, that's the thing.
very entertaining. Very entertaining.
That's right. We've chastised him. He's had to take the whole soap box back into the garage, you know, which is a task in itself. Anyway, don't worry. It'll come out again. You watch.
He's probably taking it there to give it a polish.
Question number 6. How many stars are there on the flag of the EU?
Oh, I'm just going to stab at 18.
Not 18, no.
Fair enough.
Sorry, Steve. Thanks, mate. It's not 18, no. Loz in Lynham. G'day, Loz.
Oh, hello there. How are you going?
Pretty good, yeah.
That's good.
Question number 6 we're up to. How many stars are there on the flag of the EU?
Complete guess. 12.
12 is correct, yes.
Bingo.
12 is correct. There are 12 stars on the flag of the EU. All right, question number 7. We're in pick a number, but you can move anywhere else. The King's English or your base are belong to us, your muscle quiz, or the most translated authors of all time.
The King's English, please.
The King's English, question number 7. Which 12th century King of England has been played on screen by Anthony Hopkins, Richard Harris, and Sean Connery?
12th century English king. Have you got Henry V? That was that the 12th century, but it could also be, I want to say, Richard the Lionheart.
Correct. It is.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is. Richard the First. Richard, also known as the Lionheart. Good work. Question number eight. The King's English.
Yes, thank you.
Which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and Isabella of Valois?
Which king was married to? You can't have me from which country the king was from, could you?
I don't answer questions, as you know, but the category is the King's English.
Oh, that's a good point. Which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and it wouldn't be Henry VIII. I haven't heard of them in his context. Prince Charles the First.
Not Charles the First, Loz, no. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Not Charles the First, no. Ray from Yeronga. G'day, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
Hello, hello. Question number eight. We're up to the King's English. Which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and Isabella of Valois? Tough question.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd just be guessing. Can I just say the other night when Rod said 20, I think, for the dartboard?
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot all about that one. So I think for the tracks on the White album. So
oh, yeah.
I repeated 20. So I wasn't listening to the answers.
Oh, okay.
See, yeah. Anyway, no, I'll say John.
It's not King John. We started off with which 12th century King of England has been played on screen by Anthony Hopkins, Richard Harris, Sean Connery. The answer was Richard the First, the Lionheart. This question is, which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and Isabella of Valois? George from WA. G'day, George.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good.
I got a free cap from Ampol Day with the coupon from the Western Australian.
Oh, yeah, did you? Hey.
Free cap. Beautiful.
Nice. Is it a cricket hat?
No, it's WA Day.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's very good. Nothing wrong with free stuff, George. But
free cap, yeah. Got a broad brim as well.
Oh, I got into trouble the other day because I was giving blood, right, at the blood bank.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, I was giving blood at the blood bank and they said to me, by the way, we're having a special thing, would you like a Metallica T-shirt? And I said, no, not really. And then three people came out and talked to me as though I was some sort of weirdo who was about to have a massive heart attack. And they said, you are the only person all day who said no. I said, I'm not saying no. I said, just give it to someone who wants one. That's all.
Yeah.
They were having a promotion, as you know.
Yeah.
Question number eight, the King's English, right?
King's English, yeah.
Which 12th century King of England has been played on screen by Anthony Hopkins, Richard Harris, and Sean Connery? The answer was Richard the First. Which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and Isabella of Valois?
Albert.
Not Albert. Sorry, George. No, not Albert. Joe in Ballarat. G'day, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Oh, g'day, Phil.
Question number eight, Joe. The King's English. What are we after here? Which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and Isabella of Valois?
Yeah, was it Richard?
Richard the what?
Richard the second.
Correct.
I was going to say the third.
Richard the second, yes. We started off with which 12th century King of England's been played on screen by Anthony Hopkins, Richard Harris and Sean Connery? The answer was Richard the First, as in Richard the Lionheart.
Yeah.
Which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and Isabella of Valois? The answer was Richard II.
Yeah, I think they strengthened the relationship between England and Bohemia or something along those lines.
There you go. Now, Joe, we're up to question number nine. We're in the King's English, but you can move.
I will move. I'll move to the 10.
Pick a number between 10 and 20.
that's the one.
Question number 9. Triskaidekaphobia is an irrational fear of which number? Triskaidekaphobia.
I want to say 13, so I'll say 13.
Correct, yes. Yes, a fear of the number 13 is a condition, it's an irrational fear, but it's called triskaidekaphobia, which you shouldn't try saying after midnight. Hang on, I just did that. Question number 10. We've got one left in pick a number, if you like, or otherwise you can move anywhere else.
I'll stick with them. Pick a number.
Pick a number between 10 and 20. Question number 10. Specialist knowledge required here, I suspect. In Harry Potter, how many sickles are there in one galleon?
I never watched the Harry Potter show. So this is just a wild stab.
Pick a number between 10 and 20.
16 sounds good.
16 sounds good, but it's not right. See you, Joe. Bye-bye. Dave from Sonano. G'day, Dave.
G'day. How you going, Phil?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's good.
Caroline from Bushbrook says, I was going to give blood for the very first time just to get one of those Metallica T-shirts, but they ran out. A huge number of people went to give blood for the very first time to get one of the T-shirts. That's true, Caroline. Maybe I should have taken one from anywhere. I just thought, you know, there'll be people who really want these things.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I admire you, Phil. It's well done.
You don't have to have it. I mean, the bloke who stuck the needle in, he was wearing one.
Oh, dear. I thought, you really want to be dressed up like the bloke that sticks a needle in?
That's right, exactly. That's my feelings entirely, Dave. That's right. My feelings entirely. I thought, can we just, you know, lose the fancy dress and, you know, put the medical jacket on? Yeah. Question number 11, pick a number. Is that we're up to? Yeah, we are. Pick a number between 10 and 20. Yes, specialist knowledge required here. In Harry Potter, how many sickles are there in one galleon?
There are 17 sickles in a galleon.
Correct. Very good.
Yeah. My wife and daughter used to talk in Harry Potter, and they used to talk in codes, so I thought, I'd better read them one day. So I ended up reading them, and I could actually finally understand what they were talking about. It was great.
And
then they moved on.
they're very fun books, aren't they? They are.
They're really well written, and to get so many kids into reading.
I agree.
It's just magnificent, absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, my daughter's older one in particular was at the right age, you know, when they came out. So I basically read with her pretty much all of them. I don't know whether she went through to the end, but she certainly read all the early ones. Yeah, I read them with her. It was great fun.
Yeah, and end up seeing the films and the stage show. Yeah, we went through a Harry Potter phase, and I resisted it for the longest time, but I was mad to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree.
Earlier. Yep.
I agree with you, Dave. I think they're good fun. All right, we're up to question 12. Now, we've got no more pickers and numbers and numbers. We've got – oh, sorry, we're in the King's English. Well, we don't know. Well, you can pick if you've got – you knew how many sickles there are in a galleon. So we can pick from the King's English, all your base belong to us, Muscle Quiz, or the most translated authors of all time.
I used to have a T-shirt that had all your base are belong to us, so that sounds like a really good one to go to.
All your base are belong to us. Guy from Coma says, I've been hopeless tonight, Phil, so I'm going to stop texting. Good night. Guy, don't end it all now. Guy, the sun will come up. There is a new dawn. Question number 12. All your base are belong to us. Pine Gap Military Base is located in which Australian state or territory?
Northern Territory.
Correct. Yes, Pine Gap's just outside of Alice Springs, isn't it?
It is.
Question, I mean, you don't drive past it, but you can see it from the plane as you fly in.
That's right. You just don't want to turn the wrong way. You don't want to fly over it.
I don't think that would be wise, would it?
I don't think that would be either.
You can't drive. Can you drive past it and look at it?
I've never driven up that high in the I wouldn't know.
I've driven south from Alice Springs down to Ayers Rock, but I don't down to Uluru, but I Don't remember. No, I don't think you can. All right, question 13. Pine, all your bass are belong to us. Staying here?
Yeah, yep.
Which Swedish pop group originally consisted of the siblings Jonas, Lynn and Jenny Berggren alongside Ulf Ekberg?
Ooh, Swedish pop group. There's three names, the first one, then a fourth one, wasn't there?
We're in a category called All Your Bass Belong to Us. Which Swedish pop group originally consisted of the siblings Jonas, Lynn and Jenny Berggren alongside Ulf Ekberg?
Ace of Bass.
Correct.
Yep.
I helped you there, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna
lie, yes you did.
Yeah, I know, Dave.
When you reminded me that what category I was in,
I know.
Absolutely.
I know, Dave. I just want you to remember that.
I
helped you there, Dave. All right, Dave, what do you want to do? Question, all your bass are belong to us.
Keep going with that one, please.
All right. Away we go. Used by the Australian Army and the RAAF, Butterworth Air Base is located in which Southeast Asian country?
Southeast Asian country. Okay, I'm just going to take a punt. Singapore.
Not Singapore.
Thank you very
Sorry,
much.
Sorry, Dave. Please. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. No, it's not in Singapore. Hannah in Sydney had Ace of Base. Bob from Bunbury had Ace of Base. I just told it the category, that's all. Jackie from the Pilbara says, I always remember it's 17 sickles to the galleon because there's a great line from Stephen Fry's audio book in a Cockney accent, 17 sickles for dragon liver, you must be joking. Or something to that effect. That line got changed in later editions because because the character wouldn't say 17 sickles if that's equal to a galleon. I see. All righty. Now, who's next up here? Jeff from Redcliffe in Queensland. G'day, Jeff.
G'day, Phil. How are you this evening?
Really good, yeah. All your bass are belong to us. Used by the Australian Army and the RAAF, Butterworth Air Base is located in which Southeast Asian country?
Butterworth. I've heard of that one. Southeast Asian country. Southeast Asian country. I'll just take a punt at it. Okay, I'll just say g'day to all my Manwalk Redcliffe walkers. It's going to be at the Redcliffe Jetty at 6:30 in the morning. Oh, happy days. Vietnam.
Not Vietnam.
Good night all.
Hooroo. See you, Jeff. Bye-bye. Have a good walk on the Redcliffe Manwalk. Michael from Freshwater. Hello, Michael.
Good day, Phil.
Hello, hello. Question 13 we're up to. Used by the Australian Army and the RAAF, Butterworth Air Base is located in which Southeast Asian country?
I've heard of it, but it's going to be a stab bar. Indonesia.
Not Indonesia, no. Not Indonesia, okay. I know everyone's heard of Butterworth, but... Where is it? Katrina says, yes, that's correct. I'm a child of a RAF pilot, says Katrina. Yes, well, you should know. That is true. What about Michael from Kira in Queensland? G'day, Michael.
G'day, how you going?
Not bad. Used by the Australian Army and the RAF, Butterworth Air Base is located in which Southeast Asian country?
It's so fun. I didn't know any of the other questions. You knew Ace of Base, my uncle's in the Air Force and it's near Penang in Malaysia.
Correct. Yes, very good. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Everyone's heard of Butterworth, well, sort of has heard of Butterworth, but then you suddenly think, hang on, yeah, but where is it? All righty, where are we? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We're up to question 14.
Yes.
All your bass are belong to us. That's where we are.
Can we change the category maybe? What are the categories?
Muscle quiz. The most translated authors of all time, or the King's English?
I'll go muscle quiz.
Muscle quiz?
Yes.
Don't blame me, Michael. Question question 14. Which organ is primarily composed of myocardium muscle tissue?
The heart.
Correct.
Myocardia, yeah.
There you go. All right. Question number 15. Muscle quiz. Staying here?
Yeah, you go for it, yeah.
Nick in Harndorf says, big favour, could you please say the bass category title really slowly? I can't make out what it is. All your bass are belong to us, Nick. Question 15.
Not sure what that means, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, there are plenty of people who know what it means. That's right. Michael, question number 15. We're staying in muscles, are we?
Yes, why not?
The stapedius, the smallest skeletal muscles in the human body, are located where?
The eye?
Not the eye. No. Thanks. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye. See you later. Okay. Sam and Harvey. G'day, Sam. Hello, Sam.
Oh, hi, Philip. How are you going?
Pretty good.
How are you doing? Yeah.
We're in up to question 15. We're in a category called muscle quiz. The stapedius, the smallest skeletal muscles in the human body, are located where?
In the ears.
Correct. They are. They're located in the ear. That's right.
Oh, got one.
You got one, Sam. Exactly. Yeah. Question 16. What do you want to do? Stay with muscles?
What are the other categories, please?
All your base are belong to us. The most translated authors of all time, or the King's English?
I'll stay where we are.
Muscle quiz.
Yeah.
Which muscles have a name meaning two-headed in Greek?
The fibula?
No. Sorry, Sam. Thanks, mate. No, that's not correct. Helen from Healesville. Hello, Helen.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good, yeah.
Good.
We're up to question number 16. We've got 10 to go here. We're in muscle quiz. Which muscles have a name meaning two-headed in Greek?
I was ringing up to Malaysia because I was born in Penang, but I might know this one. Biceps?
Correct. Yeah, biceps. Biceps, bicephalus, I suppose. Biceps. You were born in Penang. All right, okay.
My father was in the Air Force.
I was going to say, your father was in the Air Force, I presume. Yeah.
Yeah, he was over there with the Malay Emergency.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long did you spend over there, Helen?
I was there for the first 11 months of my life, and then when I was about 16, my father got posted back there again.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go because the school didn't go up to my level. It didn't cover the last few years.
Oh, so you had boarding school back here, did you?
No, I stayed with different people.
Oh, okay.
And then I got to have 4 holidays. The government chartered me 4 holidays over there. So I got to see it, which was really good. I loved it. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right, we're up to question 17. Muscle quiz.
Muscles.
Yeah. You want to stay with muscles?
Yes, please.
How would you be walking if you were flexing your soleus and gastrocnemius muscles? How would you be walking if you were flexing your soleus and gastrocnemius muscles?
How would you be walking? Gastrocnemius sounds like it would be something to do with the stomach. On all fours?
Not on all fours, Helen, no.
Okay. No. Oh, thanks,
bye. Butterworth is not actually on Penang Island, but across the strait on the mainland, says my texter. All righty. Bob from Greenacre. G'day, Bob.
G'day, Phil. Ouch.
Ouch. Question 17. Muscle quiz. How would you be walking if you are flexing your soleus and gastrocnemius muscles?
I'm going to take a guess and say on my knees.
Not on my knees, no. No, thanks, Bob. It's a reasonable guess, I guess. Colin from Layla in Melbourne. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Phil. Yes, anatomy is not one of my strongest subjects, but...
Question 17. How would you be walking if you were flexing your soleus and gastrocnemius muscles?
I'm going to take a punt and say you're walking backwards.
Nice. nice, but not correct.
Oh, well, back to sleep.
Good on you. See you later. Yeah, no, it was a nice idea. Not correct. Helen from Crystal Brook in South Australia. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Question 17. In muscle quiz, how would you be walking if you were flexing your soleus and gastrocnemius muscles?
It's either heels or toes, but I'll go toes.
You would be walking? How would you
on
be?
Your toes. On your toes.
Correct. On tiptoe, yes. You would be walking on tiptoes. You're not a nurse or doc or medico by any chance, Helen?
Pass.
Question number 18. We had kind of exhausted the manners of walking, hadn't we? Question number 18. I suppose you could be walking on your hands, I suppose. Question number 18, muscle quiz. Well, there's one left here, if you like, but otherwise you can go to the King's English or the most translated authors of all time, or all your base are belong to us.
Just keep going. Next muscle one, please.
Last muscle question. Question number 18. Which parts of the body are raised by the frontalis muscle and lowered by the corrugator supercilii muscles?
Say them again, please.
which parts of the body are raised by the frontalis muscle and lowered by the corrugator supercilii muscles?
I'm not much of a medico because I've got no idea.
No good?
No good.
Thanks,
sorry.
Helen. Bye-bye. See you later. Luke in Brisbane. G'day, Luke.
Hello, Phil.
Question 18 we're up to. Muscle quiz. Which parts of the body are raised by the frontalis muscle and lowered by the corrugator supercilii muscles?
Before I answer, I was going to say, you remember the Ministry of Silly Walks?
I do, yes. I do.
From the previous question.
Mm.
I'll have a go at the eyebrows.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Very good, yes. Which parts of the body are raised by the frontalis muscle and lowered by the corrugator supercilii muscles? It's the eyebrows. Nice work. All right.
Thank you.
No more muscles. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. We're up to question number 19. Now, we've got a choice of all your base are belong to us, the most translated authors of all time, or the King's English.
What was the first one, Phil?
All your base are belong to us.
Okay.
A line from an old video
Shakespearean
game.
Shakespearean play?
Video game, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, that's by the by. All your base are belong to us, the most translated authors of all time, or the King's English?
I'll try the King's English.
The King's English. Question number 19. Which notorious English king was killed at the Battle of Bosworth Field?
I didn't want a history question. I don't ring into the history quiz, Suzanne's history quiz.
Suzanne's history quiz, yes.
Yeah, it's tough. It's pretty tough.
Which notorious English king was killed at the Battle of Bosworth Field?
I'll just have a guess. King Henry?
Not King Henry. No. Sorry, Luke. Thanks, mate. No. Dino and Wajan had eyebrows. Sue and Ballarat had eyebrows. So Jane from Homebush too. Good. Jen Cat in South Melbourne had your arms. No, it wasn't. Annie in France on holidays from Newport in Queensland. You're in Meneb. Had the eyebrows. Very good. Glad that you are tuning in. Katrina says tonight's quiz is very entertaining and educational. Gold star for the creator. There you go, Patrick. Good on you. As always, Justin in Frankston. Hello, Justin.
G'day, Phil. How are you, mate?
Pretty good, yes. Question 19.
Yeah, my ears are still ringing from the AC/DC concert.
Yes, well, I know. Magnificent, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I was actually thunderstruck by them too.
Hey, there we go. Question 19, the King's English. Which notorious English king was killed at the Battle of Bosworth Field?
I'm going to say King George.
No, not King George, Justin, but thank you. Not King George, no. Pam in Hobart, correct. Helen in Footscray, correct. Cameron from South Perth. G'day, Cameron.
Philip, how are you?
Not bad. Question number 19. The King's English. Which notorious English king was killed at the Battle of Bosworth Field?
I would say Richard II.
No, not Richard II. We've had Richard II already, you know.
Oh, well, Richard I.
No, Cameron. No, sorry. All right, there are lines free if you want to grab one. Lorella's got the right answer. Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Liz from Kniper Point is going to give you the right answer. Question 19. Hi Liz.
Hi, Phil. I hope so. I think it's Richard III.
Correct, yes.
Oh, yay.
So the answer to the first question in this category was Richard I, the Lionheart. Then which king was married to Anne of Bohemia and Isabella of Valois? It was Richard II. And then which notorious English king was killed at the Battle of Bosworth Field? It was Richard III.
Oh, that's lovely.
Hmm. I'm not suggesting that gives you any clues to what's happening.
No, I'm really happy to get one or two.
Question number 20. We're in the King's English. Two left if you like, but you can move to All Your Base Are Belong to Us or the most translated authors of all time.
Oh, it doesn't matter if I'm getting to 25, so we'll go with the King's English.
The King's English. Question number 20. Quote, "You must pardon me, gentlemen, for being a most unconscionable time a-dying." Were the last words of which king?
Oh. I'm just going to have a guess and go Henry VIII.
Not Henry VIII, no.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye. Not Henry VIII, no. Caroline from Bullsbrook says Blackadder's version of the Battle of Bosworth Field was the most amusing alternative history lesson. Yes, Blackadder would be worth watching for any reason at all. I entirely agree. All righty, 1-300-800-222. Come on, we've got lines free. Someone answer this question for us. You must pardon me, gentlemen, for being a most unconscionable time a-dying, were the last words of which king? 1-300-800-222. Give us a call. You'll get straight through because there are lines free. Has anybody got the right answer here? Not so far, no. Bruce from Hackham, no, it wasn't King Harold. No. You must pardon me, gentlemen, for being a most unconscionable time a-dying, were the last words of which king? Does anyone know the answer to this? 1-300-800-222 is the number, because if you do know the answer, you'll be the first one through, I would think, because nobody seems to know. Lorella, no, but that's very close, Lorella, yes, very close. Anybody else? No. No, it's not Richard III. We've had Richard III. Bruce from Hackham says, is it King Richard IV? Nice try, but no, that is not correct. You must pardon me, gentlemen, for being a most unconscionable time a-dying. Were the last words of which king? All right, we're in a category called the King's English, so we pretty much know which nationality we're looking for here. Paul from Plainland says George VI. No, it wasn't. Principessa from Tenterfield. Was it King Lear? No, no. We're into the actual monarchs here. Anybody want to help me here? 1-300-800-222. You must pardon me, gentlemen, for being a most unconscionable time a-dying. Were the last words of which king? Question number 20. Jane from Mount Gambier. Hello.
Oh, hi, Phil. I'll try a guess. Charles II.
Correct. Very good. Oh, excellent work, yes. It was. It was Charles II.
He was a very flamboyant king.
He was a flamboyant king, yes. He was. A merry monarch. Question number 21. All right, well, there's one left in the King's English. Otherwise, you can go to the most translated authors of all time or your base are belong to us.
Oh, dear, what a choice. Oh, let's try the King's English again.
The last King's English. In 1800, James Hadfield attempted to assassinate which king?
1800. I'm not very good on English history. 1800 would have been around about. George the Fourth, maybe?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, George the Fourth.
Not correct.
I didn't think so.
Sorry, Jane. See ya. Bye-bye. We'll go back after the news for the rest.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, we were up to question number 21, the King's English. In 1800, James Hadfield attempted to assassinate which king? Was the question. Jane from Mount Gambier did not correct. Did you get the right answer? Karen from Albemarle says James Hatfield's the lead singer of Metallica. What? It's Gavin from Wollongong. I don't know whether that's correct or not. Hi, Gavin.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Phil.
In 1800, James Hadfield attempted to assassinate which king?
And which one was said was wrong?
Well,
we had a king eliminated?
Yes, I'll tell you if we have had a king eliminated, yeah. What's your answer?
Yeah, what did the previous contestant say?
I don't answer questions, as you know, Kevin.
Can't answer. All right, then I'll just say, maybe they said George the Fourth. If they've said George the Fourth, I've just done double up on them. That's my answer.
Your answer is George the Fourth. No, I've had George the Fourth.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting at. Well, I think you're starting to run out of Georges. Maybe not. I'll just say George the Fifth.
Not George the Fifth, no. No, Gavin, not George the Fifth. No, in 1800, James Hadfield attempted to assassinate which king? We're up to question number 21, not far from the... Richard says James Hetfield is the lead singer of Metallica. Oh, there you go. Isn't that funny? John Coburg says, Phil, that's an OMG. AC/DC has apparently just cracked the Billboard Top 20 with the debut of Highway to Hell sung by Bon Scott. It's never charted in the US before. Apparently it featured in a Halloween movie. Is that right? How about that? Richard says, yes, James Hetfield is the lead singer of Metallica. Who, come on, we're up to question 21. In 1800, James Hadfield attempted to assassinate which king in 1800? 1-300-800-222. There's only 5 questions left. Who's going to help me here? In 1800, James Hadfield attempted to assassinate which king? We have lines free. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Caroline in Bullsbrook says it's James Hetfield, who's the heavy metal god who sings and plays guitar for Metallica. Yeah, there you go. Chris in the Southern Waters, yes, confirming that. Adrian in Canberra. Hello, Adrian.
Hello, Phil.
Question 21. In 1800, James Hetfield attempted to assassinate which king?
So you've had George IV and you've had George V. So I might go the other way and go George the Third.
Correct. Yes, it was. It was George the Third, Mad King George. All righty. That's it for the King's English. So we've got four left. We have two in All Your Base Are Belong to Us, which is an incorrect English translation of a line in a Japanese video game, but it spread like wildfire on the internet when people had T-shirts made up and so on.
Indeed they did. Mm. There's a picture that goes with it as well.
Is there? Right, okay. We've got two questions in All Your Base Are Belong to Us, and we have two in The Most Translated Authors of All Time.
Let's go All Your Base Belong to Us, please.
All Your Base Are Belong to Us.
Sorry, apologies.
All Your Base Are Belong to Us. Question number 22. Mount Everest's South Base Camp is located in which country?
I'm going to say Nepal.
Correct. Very good. Three left. One in All Your Base Are Belong to Us, two in The Most Translated Authors of All Time.
Let's finish off All Your Base Are Belong to Us.
All Your Base Are Belong to Us. How many players are there on a baseball team?
Let's see. Backstop for the three things four, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to say 9.
Correct.
Yes.
Very good, Adrian. Yes. Very good. How many players are there on a baseball team? The answer is 9. All Your Base Are Belong to Us. Question number 24. Two left. They are in both in The Most Translated Authors of All Time.
English has always been my strong suit. Not.
Question 24. Sogno di una notte di mezza estate. Sogno di una notte di mezza estate is the Italian title of which of Shakespeare's plays? Sogno di una notte di mezza estate.
I'm just going to go an Italian one and say The Merchant of Venice.
Not The Merchant of Venice. No. Sorry, Adrian. Sorry, Adrian. No, not The Merchant of Venice. Elle from Dunlop says, Phil, my husband always said when he died he wanted Highway to Hell played, and we honoured his wish. Yeah, there you are. Jim in Campbelltown. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. We're up to question 24. Sogno di una notte di mezza estate is the Italian title of which of Shakespeare's plays?
Is it A Midsummer Night's Dream?
Correct, yes. A Midsummer Night's Dream. Sogno di una notte di mezza estate. Shakespeare is only the third most translated author of all time. As I say, I would have thought easily the most, but the most translated author of all time is apparently Agatha Christie, which I find quite surprising. Anyway, that leaves us to this situation. Well, you're in the box seat here, Captain Jim. Question 25, the most translated authors of all time. Who is the most translated Danish author of all time?
Blixen? I'm thinking the author of Out of Africa.
is it Blixen? Somebody, Anna Blixen or something? Karen Blixen? No, not correct, Jim.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Jim. No, not correct. Oh, dear. Here we are. Dan from Newcastle. You're in the box seat here, Dan. How about this?
Son of Bradbury.
You're going to do a Stephen Bradbury. Who's the most translated Danish author of all time?
Mate, I can only think of one, and that's Hans Christian Andersen.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Hans Christian Andersen, who is the eighth most translated author of all time, but he is the most translated Danish author of all time. Well, Dan, you don't have to feel bad about it because it's happened plenty of it's happened plenty of times.
Yeah.
All right. On you, Dan. How was the shift? All right.
Oh, it wasn't too bad. Played poker tonight, so it was good.
Oh, good. That's even better.
It would have been better if I won, but I'll settle for this.
On you, mate. Thank you. Don't hang up. Hang on, and Dave will get some details from you, and we shall get this out to you as well. Jane from Mount Gambier had Hans Christian Andersen. Good on you, Jane. Chris in the Southern Waters. Paul from Plainlands. Harry in the Bay. Lorella. Karen from Mullumbimby. Chris, Elle in Victoria Park had a Midsummer Night's Dream too. Nice work, everyone, and a very nice challenge.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.